former Syria embassy violated the immunity of diplomatic premises and necessitates legitimate defense to punish the aggressor. And Israeli warplanes bombed several towns and villages in southern Lebanon. Hezbollah retaliates by targeting Israel's military outposts in the occupied Sheba farms. Thank you for joining us. Israel's indiscriminate airstrikes and artillery fire continue to claim more civilian lives across the besieged Gaza Strip. The regime's latest strikes targeted two mosques, two schools, and two markets across the territory, killing 20 civilians and displacing more people. Gaza's government media office says the mosques were hit in the regime's attacks on Nusayrat refugee camp, while the two markets were located in the north and central Gaza. In Gaza City, two Palestinians were killed in a strike on a house south of the city. Eight civilians lost their lives in a bombardment near the Baptist Hospital in the city. In the north, Israeli reconnaissance planes targeted a house in Jabalia refugee camp, killing two civilians. According to Gaza's health ministry, the regime's attacks killed 63 Palestinians and injured 45 others in a matter of 24 hours. The death toll from the Israeli genocide now tops 33,500, mostly women and children. More than 76,000 others have been wounded. We were earlier joined by our correspondent Moti Abu Musabbeh from the central Gaza city of Deir al-Balah to give us an update on the situation in the besieged territory.
Israeli grinding war is still persistent against different areas of Gaza Strip, and let me say that over the last couple of hours, the Israeli occupation forces intensified and scaled up their attacks and their strikes against a Nusayrat refugee camp, particularly after the Israeli military announced the beginning of a limited ground offensive against the northern part of a Nusayrat refugee camp. That military oppression against those areas actually included intense Israeli airstrikes, in addition to the chronic artillery shelling that reached the residential buildings and residential areas in that place. We are talking about at least the three residential buildings that were destroyed over the last couple of hours. At least 10 Palestinian civilians actually were reportedly killed since the beginning of since today's morning so far. Until this moment, as we speak, the Israeli artillery shelling is still maintained against that area, particularly the Salhi residential towers. They are located in the northern part of a Nusayrat refugee camp. On the other hand, fierce clashes broke out between the Palestinian resistance and the Israeli occupation forces. And according to multiple eyewitnesses, those areas actually are witnessing fierce clashes. They are still continued so far as we speak right now, particularly in the surrounding areas of Gaza's Valley area, which is located, as you know, between Gaza City and the northern part of the central area of Gaza Strip.
Iran says Israel's recent attack on its Syria embassy, which violated the immunity of diplomatic premises, necessitates legitimate defense with the objective of punishing the aggressor. Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian made the remark in separate phone calls with his German, British and Australian counterparts. He stressed that punishment is necessary as Israel has shown total disregard for international law and the Vienna Conventions, while the UN Security Council has been unable to condemn the terrorist attack. Iran's top diplomat said the only way to restore peace to the region is to end Israel's genocide and war crimes in Gaza and the West Bank. He also urged his counterparts to explicitly condemn Israel's terrorist attack. Amir Abdullahian said controlling Israel's warmongering and its deranged leaders is a prerequisite for sustainable security in the West Asia region. He stressed that Iran does not seek escalation of hostility in the region. The UN Security Council has expressed grave concern over an Israeli airstrike that killed seven members of the US-based charity World Central Kitchen earlier this month in the Gaza Strip. The 15-member body called for a full, transparent investigation into the incident. The council also said that Israel must do more to improve aid delivery into the besieged territory. The statement called for the immediate lifting of all barriers to humanitarian aid delivery. International aid groups say Gaza is progressively being made unfit for human life and has passed the threshold of absolute horror. They say a famine is imminent and nowhere in Gaza currently has access to sufficient assistance and services. Gaza's entire population lacks basic necessities such as food, water, healthcare, and shelter. Tensions remain high between Lebanon's Hezbollah resistance movement and Israel since the beginning of the regime's genocidal war on Gaza. Both sides continue to exchange fire along Lebanon's southern border. In the latest attacks, Israeli warplanes bombed several Lebanese villages and towns. Hezbollah also retaliated by targeting Israeli military outposts in the occupied Sheba farms. Our Beirut correspondent Mariam Saleh joined us earlier with the details.
But they did target several areas in the town of Dhaira. We know that there was an elderly woman who was wounded as a result of the shelling against the town of Dhaira, which was in near some of the houses that are in the outskirts of Dhaira. Dhaira is relatively close to the border. We know also that sirens were sounding in several of the settlements and the Iron Dome system was activated. We're not sure exactly where Hezbollah hit, but we know from yesterday's operations, Hezbollah basically it decreased the number of operations. We had only two significant operations, basically against the Sheba Farms post, the occupied Lebanese Sheba Farms post, and another post, which is in occupied Palestinian territory on the western side of the border. So this is just part of it. And we have statements coming out from the Hezbollah members of parliament who all went to the border side, saying that they will even continue to support the people who have decided to stay in those towns and those villages, despite the fact that we do have displacement from the ones that are just adjacent to the border. But the rest of the towns are all people either receiving displaced people or people who are still in their houses. And that in itself is considered one of the major blows of the Israelis. The number of displaced people compared to the past that we've had, for example, in 2006, we've always had the people of Lebanon always being displaced from all of South Lebanon. During the occupation, you had hundreds of thousands of people forced to exile or to leave their towns and villages.
France has quickly walked back comments from the foreign minister that Israel could be sanctioned for refusing to allow humanitarian aid into Gaza. Analysts say the incident reveals the deep power of the French Zionist lobby. Rami Mazari has more from Paris.
Just one day after France's foreign minister earned praise for saying that sanctions on Israel could be coming over their refusal to allow humanitarian aid to Gaza, he quickly backtracked in a session before Parliament. Many are saying the episode revealed the uniquely powerful sway Zionism has in France.
France, although it has the biggest Jewish community in Europe, has also the most extreme right-wing anti-Palestinian Jewish community in Europe. And this community, this Jewish community in France, has a lot of saying and a lot of control over the media, over the political class. So you have very few people within this community who are protesting what's going on in the Middle East. Not like the United States and Great Britain.
The majority of France's Jews fled from former French colonies in Africa once those countries gained independence in the 1950s and 1960s, and they reportedly brought with them stringent anti-Arab and pro-imperialist views. In 2019, French Parliament controversially and incorrectly equated anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism, and they are currently reviewing a proposal to fully criminalize anti-Zionism.
They're saying straight, anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. Therefore, any criticism of Zionism, any criticism of Israel, means you are a criminal because you're an anti-Semite. And so it's killing all debate. Now, all throughout the collective West, but especially in France, the number one threat to freedom of speech is the Zionist movement and the pro-Israeli movement. And I weigh my words because it's very, very dangerous to say something like that in France because you'll find yourself in court.
Since October 7th, support for Hamas and even support for Palestine is often being prosecuted as so-called apology for terrorism. Pro-Palestinian demonstrations were banned nationwide for weeks, leading to thousands of fines on protesters, with protesters arrested and prosecuted for apology for terrorism for as little as carrying a Palestinian flag. Without the ability to openly criticize the policies of Israel, many believe it's difficult to imagine that Paris will reduce its unconditional support for Tel Aviv, no matter how many atrocities and war crimes they commit against Palestinians. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
Welcome back. Iranians have marked the end of the holy month of Ramadan by performing Eid al-Fitr rituals and taking part in mass prayers. But celebrations this year were overshadowed by the ongoing genocidal war in Gaza. Yusumish Ahmadi tells us more.
Eid, but no Eid. Marking the end of the holy month of Ramadan with the same rituals, but definitely not the same festive mood. Iranians observing Eid al-Fitr by taking part in mass prayers as always. Nonetheless, this year, the ongoing genocidal war in Gaza on their minds, and sharing videos of Gaza on an occasion that is one of the most important holidays on the Islamic calendar.
We will always support our brothers and sisters in Palestine. The Zionists should know that they are not alone. All it takes is a word from our leader and we will be ready to fight.
I hope that our presence today sends a strong message that we will always back Palestine.
The Zionists are not human. How can they commit such atrocities while the whole world is watching? The pictures coming out of Gaza and the situation there are shocking.
We will always support the Palestinians. We always have. And today I brought my two daughters as a message to the mothers in Gaza that we will always be there for them no matter what.
This also became the main theme of the leader's Eid al-Fitr address, as he strongly criticized Islamic governments that have not cut ties with and support the Zionist regime.
Eid al-Fitr is supposed to be a happy occasion, but this year Iranians are not happy because of the ongoing genocidal war in Gaza. Yusumish Ahmadi, Tehran.
Millions of Muslims across India have observed Eid al-Fitr by offering special prayers for Palestinians in Gaza amid the endless Israeli atrocities in the besieged territory. Munawwar Zaman has more in this report.
Millions of Indian Muslims have marked the end of the fasting month of Ramadan with Eid al-Fitr. In India's capital, New Delhi, large congregations gathered for the morning prayers at major mosques across the city. A local resident there told me the message of Islam is love, affection, and humanity. He said he had dedicated his prayers to the Palestinians in Gaza, who are witnessing Israeli brutalities on a daily basis.
We pray to Allah to give more patience to Palestinians. The situation they are facing is unfortunate, but they are brave people who have time and again proved that the most powerful countries in the world can't break their resolve. They are determined to fight for their right to their land and stand against injustice with a strong faith. Let's pray collectively and hope this day brings an end to their miseries.
Eid was celebrated on Wednesday in the densely Muslim-populated state of Kerala, Ladakh, and Kashmir, where worshippers held exclusive prayers for the people of Gaza, while emphasizing the unity of Muslims across the globe.
I urge the entire Muslim community around the world to pray fervently for the people of Palestine, who have faced tremendous injustice and oppression. Allah is sufficient for them, no matter how hard the oppressors cause them pain and harm. They should not lose their faith in God. They will emerge victorious sooner or later, since they are fighting against injustice and for a virtuous cause.
Muslims in India reminded the world of their commitment to the Palestinian cause and stressed the importance of collective responsibility and compassion. In recent weeks, activists and rights groups in India have expressed outrage over the UN's failure to stop the Israeli genocide. They called for an all-out economic boycott against Israel to end the regime's brutalities against the Palestinians in Gaza.
Since the beginning of Israeli genocide in Gaza, protest gatherings have been barred in India. Many mosque imams have also been warned not to mention Palestine in their ceremonies by the law enforcement agencies. Islamic scholars say praying for the victims of oppression is an integral part of Islamic belief. They condemn the Western attitude to regime's genocide as hypocrisy, urging for an end to bloodshed. Munawar Zaman, New Delhi.
The National Assembly elections leave South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol a lame duck, with voters delivering a solid majority to the opposition Democratic Party. While weakening Yoon's Conservative Party in the Assembly, the results also question his moves to strengthen the country's alliance with the US, cooperation with Japan, and his hardline stance on the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. Frank Smith reports from Seoul.
South Korea's progressives extended their majority in the National Assembly in an election largely seen as a repudiation of conservative President Yoon Suk-yeol and his People Power Party. Democratic Party leader Lee Jae-myung promised to work for the greater good.
The ruling and opposition parties must work together to solve livelihood problems. We will spearhead the efforts to overcome the livelihood crisis. I once again express deep gratitude to the South Korean people.
Many South Koreans feel President Yoon has been overstepping his powers with a series of missteps and controversial measures, including the failure to resolve an ongoing doctor's strike.
There were too many cases where this government pushed through policies that made no sense, as if it were a dictatorship.
While the vote revolved around Yoon and the economy, with problems such as a lack of affordable housing and increasing polarization, Yoon's foreign policy latitude will also be curtailed.
This is really bad news for President Yoon. He's going to have an extremely hard time getting anything through the National Assembly. And what's more, it may jeopardize some of his great relations that he's formed with the U.S. and Japan during his presidency.
A new progressive party launched by Cho Guk, a former justice minister, won 12 seats in the assembly, further tipping the scales against President Yoon and his People Power Party.
The two-thirds majority enjoyed by progressives in the assembly will enable them to fast-track legislation and push their liberal agenda. Meanwhile, President Yoon's pro-business reforms stand little chance of becoming law, with Yoon something of a lame duck for the final 3 years of his five-year term. Frank Smith, Seoul.
Well, that's it for this hour's bulletin. Take care for now.
The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran while shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
In the limelight.
A British charity has launched a nationwide billboard campaign that calls on the British government to end its arms sales and trade agreements with Israel. The Human Aid and Advocacy, which works worldwide, has launched its No to Genocide campaign in 98 locations across the United Kingdom. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The Reuters news agency has covered this story and tells us more. Britain's Prime Minister Rishi Sunak is facing mounting pressure over the country's arms sales to Israel, which assassinated seven aid workers working for the World Central Kitchen, WCK, in an airstrike in the Gaza Strip recently. In a letter signed on Wednesday, 3rd of April, more than 600 prominent figures, including lawyers, academics and retired senior judges, urge Prime Minister Sunak to end arms sales to Israel as a measure to prevent genocide in Gaza. They described the present situation in Gaza as catastrophic, warning that the United Kingdom government is breaching international laws by continuing to arm the Israeli occupying regime. The signatories wrote, "While we welcome the calls by your government for a cessation of fighting and the unobstructed entry to Gaza of humanitarian assistance, simultaneously to continue to take two striking examples, the sale of weapons and weapon systems to Israel, and to maintain threats of suspending UK aid to UNRWA, falls significantly short of your government's obligations under international law." The 17-page letter further called for the government to work towards a permanent ceasefire and to impose sanctions upon individuals and entities who have made statements inciting genocide against Palestinians. It also stressed that restoring funding to the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, UNRWA, is necessary for effective entry and distribution of the means of existence to Palestinians in Gaza, and by extension, the prevention of genocide in Gaza. The letter further emphasized that the International Court of Justice's conclusion that there exists a plausible risk of genocide in Gaza has placed London on notice that weapons might be used in its commission and that the suspension of their provision is thus a means likely to deter and/or a measure to prevent genocide. Thank you. while Conservative MPs have piled pressure on Prime Minister Rishi Sunak over the country's arms sales to Israel, saying the United Kingdom should stop exporting arms to Tel Aviv following the strike on World Central Kitchen aid workers. The Liberal Democrats, Scottish National Party, SNP and a former UK National Security Advisor have also called for arms sales to Israel to be suspended. First Minister Hamza Youssef has also urged an immediate end to arms sales from the United Kingdom to Israel in a letter to Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. The Labour Party has not called for a suspension, but is urging the government to publish internal legal advice on whether Israel is in breach of international laws. On Tuesday, 2nd of April, Gaza's government media office said at least 7 foreign aid workers working for World Central Kitchen had been assassinated in an Israeli airstrike in Deir al-Balah in central part of the Gaza Strip. It said the foreigners included citizens of Australia, Britain and Poland. The British victims were identified as John Chapman, James Henderson and James Kirby, who were all military veterans. Speaking to the Sun newspaper, Prime Minister Rishi Sunak described the deaths as an awful tragedy, saying the United Kingdom wanted to see a dramatic increase in the amount of aid getting into Gaza. Sunak also called for an independent investigation into the Israeli airstrike, but stopped short of saying arms sales to Israel should end. The Middle East Eye has also covered the same story and tells us more. A British charity has launched a nationwide billboard campaign that calls on the British government to end its arms sales and trade agreements with the Israeli regime. The Human Aid and Advocacy, which works worldwide, has launched its No to Genocide campaign in 98 locations across the United Kingdom. Using quotes from Israeli Minister of War Yoav Gallant declaring a complete siege on Gaza, as well as pictures of starvation unfolding in the Palestinian territory, the British charity said it aims to mobilize communities to stand up for Palestine. Noor Chaudhary, the founder of the Human Aid and Advocacy, said the group had been organizing the campaign for nearly a month, but faced delays due to some advertising agencies cancelling at the last minute. Noor Chaudhary told the Middle East Eye, "We originally planned to go with one company, but despite our advert not breaking their terms and conditions, they refused because they thought it could offend someone." Chaudhary added, "We then exchanged emails with the company and found another one that said they'd take on our advertising if the Advertising Standards Agency approved it. The Advertising Standards Agency admitted that we might court some controversy given the topic we're running an advert for, but concluded that it did not breach any of the rules." Responding to claims that the billboard campaign was provocative, Chaudhary said the advert was factual and that the Advertising Standards Agency had approved the facts before being placed on billboards. Chaudhary, who has a team working in the Gaza Strip, also told the UK-based news website that 18 members of his team had been massacred in Israel's incessant bombardment of Gaza over the past few months. He said, "There is a degree of hypocrisy in how, on the one hand, the United States and Britain are dropping aid and, on the other hand, they are selling arms, which is being used to kill Palestinians in Gaza." Chaudhary added, "The whole situation is dehumanizing to the Palestinians and creating havoc on the ground." The billboard campaign comes as pressure is mounting on Britain and its other Western allies to stop selling arms to the Israeli regime amid the rising death toll from the months-long war in Gaza, and warning by the United Nations that an Israeli-made famine is imminent in the besieged Palestinian territory. Also recently, British parliamentarians urged the British government to immediately restore funding to the United Nations Agency for Palestinian Refugees, known as UNRWA, amid widespread hunger and an unfolding famine in Gaza. In a letter to the British Foreign Secretary David Cameron, 50 MPs and members of the House of Lords urged the British government to reinstate funding for the United Nations Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA, without delay. UNRWA is the primary United Nations agency delivering healthcare and essential humanitarian support to the Palestinian population trapped in the besieged territory. In a statement in late January, the British government announced that it was pausing funding to UNRWA in the wake of Israel's baseless claim that the agency's staff were involved in Operation Al-Aqsa Storm. 115 parliamentarians called on London to pressure Israel not to use starvation as a weapon of war, to resume UNRWA funding, and set a deadline by which Israel must abide by the provisional measures of the International Court of Justice, the ICJ, to allow humanitarian aid into Gaza. The Israeli regime launched its war on Gaza on 7th of October last year, after the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas carried out Operation Al-Aqsa Storm against the usurping entity in retaliation for the Israeli regime's intensified atrocities against Palestinians. The Israeli regime has also cut off fuel, electricity, food and water to more than 2 million Palestinians living in the Gaza Strip.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of Arab English Radio, old ladies from all around the world. Welcome back to your own program, Muslim Lady. This is Asma. I have the honor to be your host once again. Yes, welcome to your own program. As usual, we're going to talk about the issues that are related to all the women out there. And in today's episode, we have Sister Nahid with us to help us with the topics. Assalamu alaikum, sister, and welcome.
Assalamu alaikum to you and all your dear listeners. I'm so glad and pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you very much for being here. How are you doing?
Good. Everything is going okay.
So that's perfect. Previously on Muslim Lady, we talked about the factors and important items that are very much crucial for every girl. And right now, I guess there are some more of these factors that we can talk about. As the holy month of Ramadan is just finished, we come to this point to look at the role of women in a much clearer vision. Like right now, we're going to see the changes that Muslim ladies are going to create at their houses or even in the society, not only in the month of Ramadan, but also in the months such as Muharram even. We could see all of these changes that happen through the roles of women, through what women do. So, this is just to draw your attention to the role of women in these holy months and how much of change they bring into the lives of people around them. Like their schedule, the way they're doing things, everything is going to change during the holy month of Ramadan. Now, it's true that mothers are always the center of, they're the engine of the house, but then in the holy month of Ramadan, everything becomes so much more highlighted, so much more exaggerated. Like they spend too much of hours at the kitchen doing a lot of stuff, going through too much of terribles, let's say, because they have to handle a lot of things at the same time. And then you could understand that concept of the engine of the house.
Whenever I think of this, whenever I see my mom just handling a lot of things at home, I just, I feel a power in her, a special power that is just like given to her in a very imaginative way from God. You know, I feel like Allah himself gives this power to all women in this holy month. And it's like they're empowered to act differently, to live differently. Waking up at like 3, preparing food, bringing, I don't know, food for the children, waking the others up, even wash the dishes at that time.
Oh, yeah.
And like, even this sleeplessness is not affecting our mothers. It's not affecting women. There are too many things that can be mentioned over this. Like that devotion that we see in mothers in this special time.
And commitment, of course.
Yeah, exactly. They are defined by these words all the time, but it's like so much shining in the holy month.
Exactly.
Like that devotion that we can see in them, the way they are just acting, the way they are working, those hardships that they are tolerating.
And they work as this driving force for the other member of the family.
Yes.
Like when I see my mother, and how hard she's going through too much of difficulties, and how hard she's working for the blissful moment of her family, I feel like, okay, I'm younger than her, but I do not have as much energy
it's
as
like
she's got.
They are equipped for these kinds of problems.
And I guess that's about being a mother. As if when a girl becomes a mother, she becomes a Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
She could do everything for the happiness of her children and her family, of course.
Yeah.
So this is just the introduction. We would dig a little bit deeper, but after the break. So stay with us. Aside from being the one who provides all the happiness in the house for her family, there's a lot to a mother's role. Like, they are being the role models for their children, and specifically for the girls, for their daughters.
Yeah, you know, when girls just look at their mothers, when daughters look at the mother who is just who is managing everything, you know? Yeah, you mentioned a very pretty point that they are not just cooking and just doing the household chores.
Exactly.
They are at the same time managing the whole life, both spiritually, like emotionally, and they are being the most supportive person in the world at that time.
Yeah.
And the signs that we are observing, the things that the girls, we as girls, as daughters, we are observing in our mothers as just like a role model that we can't be that person right now, you know?
Exactly.
Even if we kill ourselves, we're never going to be that much devoted.
Yeah.
Like, we cannot have that much resilience in facing problems while our parents are, even fathers, you know? But it is highlighted in women, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because
it has been bestowed upon them.
Yeah.
I guess
yeah.
this is a blessing which has been given to them.
Like, the situations that we can see that mothers are just preparing food for food donation. It's like they're going beyond.
Exactly.
They're not only working for their own home. They are preparing things for iftar. They are preparing even iftar for guests. They invite a lot of people to their houses. At the same time, we have a lot of food donation. A very beautiful picture.
And the painter is your mother.
Yeah, exactly. It's a dream world. And the main actor of that picture, the main person is mother.
Exactly.
Like everything is being beautiful with her, with her presence.
So you mentioned it's pretty beautifully, like the process of donation, the process that the mothers go through cooking foods for the other people, whether it be for guests or they just spread food to the poor people. Like, yeah. She's doing this, and by doing this, she actually is teaching her children how to be and how to treat other people, not just being so much engaged with your own personal yeah. issues. Try to think about the community. Try to think about your
community.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the atmosphere of this month somehow changes even in the community, in the society, by the presence of mothers.
Exactly.
Like they are having their impact both on their own family and on the community at the same time.
Exactly. And they're teaching their daughters how to be in the immediate future, of course.
Yeah.
And I'm just telling you that as girls, everything that we remember is either from our mother or from our father, but the things that we learn from our mothers are different. Yes. Like, just as you said, there are some pictures that we have in our mind, and the painter behind these pictures are just our mothers. Like, the things we learn out there are the things that come directly from mothers. If I want to just bring up a personal experience, I would say that I remember that when I was a child, a little girl actually, at the age of 5 or 6 or somehow, I remember that I was so sleepless, and then I was just sitting beside my mom, and she used to take me to the holy shrine. Now just imagine, as a child, I was so tired, but I tried to just imitate like whatever she's doing. I was tired and I was so sleepy, but looking at her, she gave me that energy to stay awake with her. Now, see, such a thing for a child is very difficult, but only a mother could teach you such a thing.
Without literally teaching you,
exactly.
Know?
They're just like practically
transferring them.
Yeah, you're looking at her and she becomes the mirror that would reflect you in herself. Everything about praying, about worship, about caring about other people, and these donations just come directly from our mothers. So we owe them big, I guess.
Yeah, you know, the signs and the things that we can learn from our mothers in this holy month are just like countless.
Exactly.
We can name the sacrifice we can learn from them, the way they are sacrificing themselves, their wealth, everything. Like, they are teaching us how to forget about ourselves sometimes. And sometimes try to look wider, look at the outside circle, look at the community, look at the society.
So let's go for a short break and then we'll be back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back. You're listening to Muslim Lady, and in here we're talking about the role of mothers, and there's a lot to their role and whatever they're doing to us, whatever they're teaching us. But then we're talking about the parts that are so much highlighted out there, and there's no one to deny them, of course. So we're talking about the outline point as much as the time is letting us. So, speaking of the role of mothers, I would say that when you go in a lot of ceremonies that are held out there, and then, you know, these families go out, sometimes they go to the holy shrine, they listen to different lectures, and then they take out their children with themselves. Like, I think back in time, I used to say that why they bring their children with themselves, they're so noisy. But then I figured out that what the mothers do by bringing their children to such occasions is to actually teach them.
Yeah, it's like a classroom for children.
Yeah.
You know? They are learning without officially learning. They're looking at their role models and looking at these situations from the outside, like being a child. Like, I totally remember myself in these kinds of iftar sessions. When we were there, I was just like getting confused and at the same time thinking about the situation.
And
that's
learning
unity.
Things.
Yeah, exactly. That unity of seeing all people next to each other, saying prayers, and just ending their day with being with each other and being so kind and nice to each other was making me think of life this way, as I haven't seen this before. Like before Ramadan, we do have some sessions like saying prayers and these stuff and lectures, but it wasn't like this much united. It's like everything gets too much clear for us.
Yeah. So I think it's the mothers who are going to teach us, like, to have this run in our blood. Like when we get older, when we grow older as mothers or as the ones who are going to spread this to the other generations, we come to recognize that unconsciously and subconsciously we have learned all these stuff from our mothers. Like, she was the one who took me to these lectures, so I'm going to take my daughters into these lectures as well. Like, she was having a lot of food donations, so I'm going to have a lot of food donation. Like, you get what I say? It's just like a thing, a teacher, a kind teacher that is teaching me everything unconsciously.
Yeah, and it's also like the inheritance, you know. They are inheriting.
Yeah, it becomes your heritage, actually, by time.
Yeah, exactly. And that is, I really love this circle, you know. I really feel proud of myself for living in the community, living in the, living this religion that is leading me towards having a circle of friendship, a circle of nice things going around to the next generation and to the next.
Yeah, so that's actually nice. Even thinking about it makes you have a lot of motivation and driving force to go further. So yes, we have to thank all the mothers out there, all the kind engines of the families who make everything go so smoothly. They tire themselves out for everyone not to feel any hardship during this month. So thank you for your existence, and thank you for all the beautiful things that you have taught us, all the mothers, all the Muslim ladies out there. Thank you for you being here. So this is all the time that we had for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
For something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/parstodayen. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/parstodayenglish. عید الفطر. این
the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. Dear listeners, this is the second part of the two-part program on Eid al-Fitr. If you remember, we said yesterday that Eid al-Fitr is one of the great Islamic feasts and it is very important for Muslims all over the world. Yet, unlike feasts and happy occasions in other communities, Muslims mark their feast, including this one, with prayer and worship of God. This is a kind of thanksgiving before God as He has helped us to fast in the blessed month of Ramadan and worship Him more than other junctures in the year. The commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, peace upon him, says in a hadith, "Look, this day is a day which Allah has made it a feast for you and made you deserving towards it. Thus, remember Allah so that He will remember you and call Him so that He will answer you." Remembrance of Allah and supplication to Him is the most important support for human being. But the point to note is that this supplication and relation with God should be accompanied with action. Invocation to God without obeying His commands is like taking the prescription from the doctor and putting it in your pocket. Will this prescription cure you? For sure, you won't be cured unless you fill the prescription and take the medicines. Eid al-Fitr is a great religious ceremony to gather Muslims to praise God and pray to Him. But they are obligated to pay zakat too. This zakat is paid to solve the problems of the poor and the needy. It has other usages too, like revival of the spirit of cooperation, addressing the health, hygienic and cultural conditions of Muslims. It can be consumed for helping debtors to pay back their debts. It can also be used for building mosques, schools, bridges, hospitals and so on. Zakat-e-Fitr can be used for bolstering religious beliefs of those with weak faith and help remove ideological ambiguities which are spread by enemies. Paying this zakat, Muslims are indeed putting into practice part of the prayers which they use to read during the month of Ramadan. If zakat is paid with the pure intention of satisfying Allah, it will pave the way for spiritual growth and proximity of Allah. Imam Ali, peace upon him, says, "Make yourselves light to reach your destination." It means that with a light spirit, one can fly towards perfection and get closer to God. Basically, the word aid stems from the root of aud, meaning to return. Accordingly, the days in which a nation or community triumphs and returns to the previous successes are called aid. Eid al-Fitr is the day of unity of Muslims against injustice and oppression. In view of this, the leader of Eid al-Fitr congregational prayer points to the problems and needs of Muslims in Islamic and non-Islamic countries. He touches upon current issues of Islamic communities, such as their relations with other communities and nations, and the intervention of foreigners and ill-wishers. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, once said in the sermons of Eid al-Fitr prayer, "Today, in the international political scene, governments and global powers, on the one hand, and nations and massive popular communities, on the other, there are both beautiful and ugly features. Beautiful features are awakening of nations. Muslim nations' inclination towards Islam and tolerance of the oppressed. And ugly features are oppression of oppressors, bullying of bullies, and conspiracy of ill-wishers of nations. Dear friends, this bullying has been manifested in the region where the inhabitants of Gaza and Rafah will see Eid al-Fitr, while their homes and hearths have been destroyed by the Zionist regime and they have no food and medicine. The ongoing condition in Gaza is an indescribable catastrophe, thought it has fallen on deaf ears and blind eyes, especially among those whose claim of human rights and rights of children and women has deafened world ears for decades. How can one be a Muslim and keep silent and indifferent towards the children who are innocently massacred by Israeli butchers while their mothers are patiently kissing their children's bloody and soiled faces, asking for help from God? The bombers and fighters of the Zionist regime fly every day over Gaza. They demolish mosques and massacre patients in hospitals. Yet, Gaza has stood robustly like a mountain. This steadfastness has perplexed and maddened the Zionist regime. However, it has doubled the responsibility of Muslim brothers. Muslims are duty-bound to do whatever they can for Gaza. The resistance and steadfastness of the people of Gaza and the support of nations for them shows that there is a bright and promising future, the future of peace and justice, the future of punishing the Zionist criminals and their supporters everywhere. Allah has stressed the victory of the faithful and seekers of truth in several ayahs of the Noble Quran. For instance, in Ayah 24 of Surah Shura, Allah says, Allah will efface the falsehood and confirm the truth with His words. He also says in Ayah 11 of Surah Anbiya, How many a town we have smashed that had been wrongdoing, and we brought forth another people after it. May Allah favor Muslims to see the liberation of Quds and Palestine with the annihilation of the cancerous tumor Israel. Amen.
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israel's latest strikes hit two mosques and two crowded markets in Gaza, killing 20 civilians as the death toll from the regime's genocide